Thank you, Ms. Karen.
Scott, good to see you this morning. I'm so glad that you are here, that you made a priority to be in the house of the Lord today to worship. So let's pray together as we begin our time of singing and thinking about God. Dear God, we come into your presence right now. We do think about you, and I pray that you would let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you. We're thankful, Lord, that you are our God. You're our mighty fortress, our refuge, our strength, our help, our Savior, our friend, our Redeemer. We worship you. You are filled with glory and majesty, and honor is due your name. Lord, let your Holy Spirit move among us, and each person that's here would sense your presence. Lord, we desire relationship with you, and help us now as we sing your praise, as we worship, as we fellowship with one another in your name. Bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Get you ready to sing. Let's stand and worship the Lord together as we sing, "Come Thou Almighty King."
Come and bring all.
glad you're part of our 10:30 tradition of worship. If you are a guest of ours today, we encourage you to look at the far left-hand side of your bulletin, and you'll notice a QR code. If you just hit that with your phone, and it'll take you to a guest card, and you can fill that out and submit it to us. We would appreciate you doing that. Take a few moments. Welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today. Good to have you.
Jehovah, God of creation,
you can be seen.
Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that giveth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty.
Sing together another powerful song based on scripture, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you, God. So let's sing that together. As the deer panteth.
Mm-hmm.
beautiful singing. Next hymn is our offertory hymn for today, 139 in your hymn book, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We'll sing all three stanzas, but we'll remain seated until the last stanza as we prepare to take the morning offering.
Thankful for the nation we live in And as we approach Veterans Day, we are so thankful for these men and women that have served this country so faithfully. We pray, Lord, for the state of Israel. We pray that you'll bless them. We pray that you'll protect every innocent human being possible. We pray that you'll use this offering to your ongoing glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Back in the late 90s, and the message is still as relevant today as it was back then. It's true from the scripture and from experience, talking about the timing of God. God's timing is always perfect. Sometimes I want him to move a little quicker. Sometimes he moves too fast for me, but God's timing is right on time, and I hope that you'll be blessed by this. The Bible, a King James Version, said when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. And I'm so glad that he did. So let's worship together as I share this message. It's kind of written in Southern gospel style, so I hope that you will be enjoying that some. Tap your toe, but don't miss the message.
Born in a stable in Bethlehem, he died upon a rugged cross to pay the penalty for sin. Laid in a borrowed tomb, he arose on the third day, and every second brings us closer to the time he'll come our way. Just the right time,
He was laid in a manger at just the right time. He died for our sin at just the right time. He rose victorious from the grave at just the right time. He'll be coming again. No man knows the hour or the day, but you can rest assured that he will take his bride away. The wedding celebration's drawing near when he bids us come and dine. At the appointed time, the trump will sound. He will split the eastern sky. At just the right time, he was laid in a manger. At just the right time, he died for our sin. At just the right time, he rose victorious from the grave. At just the right time, he'll be coming again. God is never early, so be patient now and wait. His timing's always perfect, and you know he's never late. At just the right time, he was laid in the manger. At just the right time, he died for our sin. At just the right time, he rose victorious from the grave. At just the right time, he'll be coming again. At just the right time, he'll be coming again. He'll be coming again.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, choir, for leading us today, preparing our hearts. And that's exactly what we do when we enter into the time of worship, when we sing and when we pray and when we fellowship. And it's the time that the Father, through the Word, for the Word, by the Word, then speaks to us and prepares our hearts and our minds. And so we hear Ken singing today at just the right time. And that's where we're going to finish today in our sermon. We're going to look at the story of Job today. So if you have your Bibles and you would like to turn with me to turn to Job chapter 9. I'm only going to read two verses. Job chapter 9, verse 3 and 16. We're not going to read verses 3 through 16. We're just going to read those two verses. And the great questions that Job has from this great, incredible story. And then we're going to fall on God's timing and who he is and what he does with us and for us. Some of the greatest questions about life, just life in general. And for those of us that are believers, faith. So some of the greatest questions of life and faith come from this incredible story in the book of Job, about this man named Job. There are believers right now all over our world, literally. There are believers in Gaza. There are believers in Israel. In the midst of all of that war, there are people that claim Jesus as their Savior and Lord all throughout that region. There are believers in Ukraine. There are believers in Russia. There are believers in China. There are believers literally all over our world. And one of the greatest questions that we ask is this about life and faith. Does God care about our suffering? Now, if you don't have eyes to see, if you don't have ears to hear, if you don't have a biblical worldview, that is, you don't base your life on Scripture and the truth claim of Scripture, then all you see is all of this darkness and all of this evil all over the world. And people ask the question, does God, your God, really care about the suffering? I mean, how many times have you heard people say, I mean, if God really does love us, and then they come up with an answer that would fit something for their own life, wouldn't God do it this way? Does God really care about my suffering, whatever that suffering may be? Does God care about the suffering of the Middle East? Does God care about the suffering in Ukraine? Does God care about suffering literally that all over our world? Does God hear the cries of His people? That's another great question of life and faith. And it comes from this incredible story called Job. Does God really hear our cries, the cries of His people? One Sunday about 15 years ago, maybe even longer, it was before everybody got here, and usually it's Scotty and me and Ken and one or two guys from the security. They weren't even doing security at that point, so there was only a few of us that were here. And I was walking out of the office, and as I was walking out of the office, I was going to come to the sanctuary, walking around this way and come through that back door. So I walked down the hallway, and out of nowhere, a friend of mine doesn't go to First Baptist. It lives in Gunnersville, goes to another church. A guy that I've known ever since we've lived here, and we're good friends. We've never really talked about spiritual things. We see each other out. We laugh. We cut up. Just a good friend. And all of a sudden, he walks in the side door as I'm coming to about where the door is. It was just the perfect timing. He opened the door, and I thought we were about to engage in something fun. And he looked at me, and he said, Joel, is God arbitrary? And I looked around as if to say, are you talking to me? That just really threw me. Joel, is God arbitrary? And I answered, no. No, God is not arbitrary. And he turned around and he walked out and he got in his car and he went to his church. About two or three months later, I saw him out and I said, I got to know, what in the world was that all about? And we talked and we worked through all of that. He said, but I had to know right then and there. As I was going to my church, I pulled over and walked in, and there you were, and I needed to know, is God arbitrary? Does God hear the cries of His people? Does God care about our suffering? And some of the greatest answers about life and faith come from the book of Job. Yes, God cares about our suffering all over the world right now. In war-torn worlds, God cares deeply, more than we could ever even know, about our suffering. God does hear the cries of His people and the concern of His people. And no, God is not arbitrary. Job was a good and prosperous family man, and he was suddenly given these horrendous disasters that took away everything that he had in order to test his faith in God. He struggled, to say the very least, to understand what all was going on with him. And certainly we would too. I don't have time to go into the whole story of Job, but I do encourage you, if you've never read the story of Job, when you go home this afternoon, just take some time and read the incredible story of Job. And so he struggled knowing, what is all of this? Why am I going through all this? As any of us would in those situations. God is sovereign and He loves His children even through the pressures and the pains of life. And upon reflection and upon prayer, Job consistently remained faithful to the Lord. Job suffered mightily in a way that I can't understand, or anybody in this sanctuary can understand. But even in that suffering, Job ultimately brought honor and glory to God the Father through his faith. Job debates three of his friends about his condition, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar. And they argue and they debate solutions to Job's problems. Now, Job's friends had no clue what they were talking about. They were wrong at every single turn. Do you have friends like that? I don't, because my friends go to this church, so I don't have those kind of friends. Yeah, I got those friends too. They don't know anything that they're talking about. And Job had these friends, and they knew nothing. They were clueless. And thankfully, Job eventually condemned their counsel, and he revealed his ultimate trust in the Lord. And so in the third speech to Bildad, Job said this, or asked this question in chapter 9, verse 3. If someone wanted to take God to court, so put that mind picture in your mind. So you and God are in court. If someone wanted to take God to court, would it even be possible to answer his questions even once in 1,000 times? So if God in court asks you under oath 1,000 questions, could you even answer him 1 out of 1,000 times? And then in verse 16 he said, and even if I summoned him, even if I could call on God the Father, and he responded, I'm not sure he would even listen to me. I am astounded as I read these verses at how good a handle Job has on the gap that exists between himself and God. He rightly recognized that he and God operated on utterly different planes, saying that he couldn't answer God 1 time in 1,000. And even if the Lord heard his voice and answered him, he still would not be able to believe that God was actually addressing him. And I couldn't agree more. There's a gap that exists between holy God and the black sinfulness of Joel Samuels that my little mind can't even possibly imagine how great that gap is. And even if he does listen, will he answer? Will he take time to answer me? Good questions. Dave Keasley says, this is the sort of theology one might expect a cockroach to have in relation to us. God is far too large and awesome to ever look down and take notice of me. And when he does appear, he would probably come in the form of a really big boot, never noticing that I'm about to be crushed. But in his description of the gap, Job nevertheless admitted that he would love to see that gap bridged. Apparently, even cockroaches have feelings. He suggested that he might like to dispute with God, that he would like to be able to speak with him. Would it be possible to answer him even once in 1,000 times? Another way of reading verse 16 is to say that Job would love to think that he could call out to God and know that his cries would be heard. In other words, Job voices a longing for fellowship, for relationship with God, but he concludes wrongly, as it turns out, that it will ever happen. Job is clueless about the one thing that matters most. Let me say that again. Job is clueless about the one thing that matters most. The depths of God's own longing for exactly the sort of relationship that Job desires. He delights in the thought of fellowship with the crown of his creation. But the difference between God and me is this. God is able, and I am not, to take the initiative in creating opportunity for relationship. Jesus, then, is my bridge to fellowship with God. What a beautiful picture. Job was wrong in the fact that God doesn't want to be around me. God doesn't want to speak to me. God doesn't want to help me. And those of us who are living beyond the old covenant, in the new covenant because of Jesus, then we know that because of Jesus, God does everything in His power to bridge this gap between us and Him. And Jesus is the bridge to that fellowship. So while I flail about in despair over the prospect of God ever hearing my cries, He says He will answer. He said to Jeremiah, "Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come." When I am overwhelmed and I grow weary, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, Joel, never, ever, ever grow tired in doing good. And he's not talking about being good. He's not talking about doing good stuff. He's talking about never grow tired in living the gospel. Never grow tired in the good news. Isaiah, speaking for the Lord, said, "Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is His ear too deaf to hear you call." So Job was right in his correct understanding of his smallness. But he never imagined that the God of creation, the sovereign God of the universe, would neither sleep nor slumber until Job was safely home with Him. I know that the Lord watches my frantic frailings and is sad. I told a story many years ago, one of the rare stories that I remember. Oftentimes people ask me after Sunday sermons, "Do you remember 15 years ago when you told a particular story? We were looking at Matthew chapter 10, and you told the story about so and so and so and so." And I try to act like I remember. "Yeah, I remember. Sure, I remember that. I remember exactly that story. I remember you said this about this. You know, 8 years ago when you preached on so and so. And do you remember that?" I'm like, "No." But I remember this story. I told this story many years ago, and I remember this story because this story meant so much to me personally. And it's a part of my prayer life. It's just the perfect picture of when I get to these points of just frantically frailing about, and I need the Lord. And I have this beautiful picture in my mind. A man was driving on 65 south coming into Nashville, Tennessee, and he got on I-40. I-40 is kind of the loop that goes around Nashville. He got on I-40, and he pulled up beside this truck, this pickup truck, and all of these lanes of traffic, but he was right beside this pickup truck, and he noticed in the pickup truck, in the bed of the pickup truck, was this cage. In the cage was a wooden perch, and in that cage with that wooden perch was this bird. Now the cage was large enough to hold the bird if the bird would sit on the perch, plenty large enough. But the problem was, because this truck was traveling at 65 to 70 miles per hour, this bird thought that he needed to fly. And so this bird was literally in this cage flapping his wings. But the problem was is that the cage was not big enough for the bird with that huge wingspan in that cage. Plenty big enough if he's just sitting on the perch, but not anywhere near big enough if he's trying to fly. And so this bird was just flapping its wings, trying to fly, beating its wings up against that cage over and over and over again. And I remember the guy telling the story. He said, "I wanted nothing more than to roll down my window and to yell at that bird, 'Just sit on the perch, rest, relax, everything's fine.'" And he said, "Then I realized I didn't speak bird." And that's me. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and tired, and I will give your soul rest." And I find myself so often beating my wings up against the cage. And Jesus says, come to me. God has made a way for me to enter into a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus. But I so often go there only after I have exhausted other resources. The way that I do sermon prep is not right or wrong. It's not good or bad. It's just the way I do it. And I usually am about 6, 7, 8 weeks. That's what I try to be, out in front of myself. And so typically then, on the week that I am preaching or teaching a Bible study on Wednesday night, that particular week when I come in on Monday morning or Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, all that week, I will read and look at my emails, but then I usually will pull up on my computer the sermon that I'm preaching for the coming Sunday. And I'll put it down on my toolbar, and once or twice a day, I'll just pull the sermon up and I'll just read through it. I'm not good at memorization. I'm terrible at memorization, so I don't memorize by any stretch of the imagination, but I want to be so familiar by the time I get to Saturday night that I'm familiar with where I'm going for the next day. And so this week, Monday, all day Monday, boy, I was just beating up against that poor old cage. Monday night, the same thing. Nothing like Job by any stretch of the imagination, but just my own world. Things going on in my own life. Tuesday morning, I wake up and I can't hardly even spend time in my routine prayer that I always talk about, because all I can think about is, what do I need to do? How do I need to get through this? What do I need? And I'm just beating my wings up against that poor old cage over and over and over again. I get into the church office and I look at my emails, and then I pull up the sermon and I read through the sermon, and I get to the very end, and here's the last line of the sermon that I prepared for you. Not me. These sermons are for you people that need to hear a word from the Lord, not me. And the last line of my sermon said this: my prayer should always be, Lord, I yield. I choose to embrace your timing, your methods, and your discipline in my life. I pushed back from my computer and I cried. Lord, I'm sorry that I have beat that cage to death today. I choose to yield, to embrace your timing, not mine, your methods, not mine, and your process of discipline, that's right, your process of discipline in my own life. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy-hearted, and I will give you your soul rest. Father, thank you so much for a great, powerful word from this great story of a man named Job and what he went through and all that he finally came to say, I trust in the Lord. And I bring honor and glory to the Father. And for those of us, Father, living in the new covenant, we look at the story of Job and we realize just how much you do care because of what you did for us in your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for a powerful word to us today. In all things, Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And our prayer is, for those who do not know you as Savior and Lord, today will be the day of salvation for them. For those of us who do, may we hear you call us to rest in you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation is, only trust Him. If you've never trusted Christ, then only trust Him. We encourage you to do that today. If you need to come and pray or join our church here at First Baptist, do that as we stand and as we sing.
Sin oppressed, there's mercy.
precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you.
Please be seated real quickly. This morning, during our early worship, a young lady named Shelly King McCord, she married into this church family, Gary McCord, and so she is not a member of First Baptist Church, and she came today. She said, I know Jesus is Savior and Lord. I followed Christ in believer's baptism, and I am coming today to join with First Baptist Church. So the next time that you see Shelly and Gary and their little boy named Lane, you make sure that you say a kind word of encouragement to them. All right, I think we've got a video. Yep.
3, 2, 1. When that shoebox is open, they're overjoyed.
You can see them shouting, jumping.
Oh, look at how much they are excited. This is the first time those children are receiving their shoeboxes. They are so happy.
Every box is important because every box is an opportunity to tell a child about God's love, about His Son, Jesus Christ.
If you get the heart of the child, you will reach the heart of the parents, you will reach the heart of the family, and then you will touch the community. That gift box is the beginning into their hearts.
Isn't it incredible how these gifts touch the lives of these children? Every year we see tens of thousands of children discipled. And we couldn't do this without you, so thank you for packing the boxes. Thank you for praying for these children around the world. God bless you, and keep packing those boxes.
It is amazing how big that's become. So we participate in that. Boxes are out here right by the library. Grab a box, grab a pamphlet. It'll teach you how to fill that box up, and you have 2 weeks. So November the 19th will be our Sunday to bring those back in. We have our mature adults Thanksgiving Veterans Luncheon this coming Saturday on Veterans Day in the Fellowship Hall. Sign up sheet on the Old Lord's Supper table. I think there's about 70 that are already, 60 or 70 or so, already signed up for that particular day. Kim, what do you have?
I have youth choir practice next Sunday right after this service in the choir room. Lunch will be provided. We'll be getting our Christmas music ready. Then I wanted to give you a little heads up about the schedule for December music-wise. The first Sunday night in December, we've got the Pickers Christmas concert. So I want you to come and invite friends to come and celebrate Christmas with the Pickers, bluegrass gospel music style. The next week, we'll have our multi-generational choir. We fill up this place on Wednesday nights practicing, and they sound amazing. So that'll be about an hour-long program, a little less probably, but it'll be a real inspirational time, so I encourage you to come. You can sing along on some great Christmas hymns and carols that we'll do, and then hear some really great choral music as well from all generations, children all the way up. So it's going to be exciting. That's on the 10th. On the 17th of December, we've got our annual Carols by Candlelight service and the Lord's Supper. So that's one of our great times of worship together. Each one of these events in December are at 6 o'clock on Sunday night.
Community-wide Thanksgiving service is 2 weeks from tonight at Lake City Assembly of God. So put that on your calendar. I believe it's going to be at 6 o'clock at Lake City Assembly of God, our community-wide Thanksgiving service. All right, so this is our Sunday every year that we vote on our deacon leadership in the life of our church. So if you are a guest of ours today, then you're welcome to go ahead and leave. We're not trying to point you out, but this is only for our members. So if you're a member of First Baptist Church, you did not bring your ballot that was emailed to you or sent to you and you need would like to have one, just raise your hand. All of you that are members that don't have a ballot and you need one, we've got our ushers that will come by and give you one. And take as much time as you need to fill that out. We will wait for you to fill that out if you need to do so. All right, we got those? All right, so how we're going to do this is that we will close by singing Great is Thy Faithfulness, and then stay as long as you need to fill that out, and then after we sing, then you will be dismissed. So let's all stand and sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Got a few folks back there. Yep. All right, here we go.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have been, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank you.